now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, in the middle of a routine shopping trip on Coruscant, C-3PO is abducted by the bounty hunter Cad Bane. There will be R2 finding his happy endings, a cameo from the Ace of Cakes himself, and the return of the one, the only, Cad Bane! We're talking about evil plans this week. How you doing, Chris?
Pretty good. Man, they're making real simple titles for these episodes, the last few.
The very first words when the narrator is talking is, evil plans!
Yes.
And I was like, wow, you just said the title like right from the get-go.
It's like the Academy, Assassin, Corruption. Yeah.
This is a weird, weird, weird season.
Yes,
I feel
it is.
Like the second half is like when it really gets its groove. But the first half is just like, oh, we have these other kind of stories we need to plug in that we didn't get a chance to tell in season one and season two, so we're just going to like just kind of slide those in right fast, and it'll be fine.
Yeah, and we were talking about how it was getting weird last episode, and now it just definitely got weirder.
Yeah. I'm doing okay, too. Listeners, I was telling Chris before that I have a kitty in my lap, and she's nibbling on my fingers.
Nice.
Yeah, my spokes. I'm sure you're playing the Meow Mix jingle right about now.
I am now.
Hear that, folks? She's like, why are you not petting me? Why are you staring at me?
Yeah.
Whatever. Less, I'm a cat.
Less talky, more petty.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm definitely ready to get into this. We talked about Cad Bane a couple weeks ago with him in the Darth Maul comics. And now
and how we missed him.
And now he's here. And I wish it was a better episode. Because it's this episode to me has kind of a feeling of like Grievous Intrigue a little bit. It's just kind of there.
It's a little bit there. I don't have a penis piercing story this episode though.
I know. I actually put in my notes. I was like, I hope Chris has a story. So that's definitely in the notes for me. So we might have to come up with a story. I will let you know because I didn't tell you this beforehand. No, it was in Act 1, was it? Yeah, in Act 1, there's a part where I have Yoda talking, if you want to jump in on that.
Oh, okay. I think I can do that. Or I think I could get Yoda to do that.
But first and foremost, we gotta talk about the episode. So you ready?
Let's talk about this episode.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. Evil Plans is the 52nd episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on November 5th, 2010. It was written by Stephen Mitchell and Craig Van Sickle, and directed by Callan O'Connell. Stop biting my fingers! Sorry, cats. Some extra information for you. This episode is the prequel to the Season 1 finale, Hostage Crisis. The Baker droid at the end of the episode was voiced by celebrity baker of Ace of Cakes, Duff Goldman. Over the years, he also made several cakes for Lucasfilms. Also, Ace of Cakes was really an amazing show, so please put it back on the air because I really miss it a lot. In the episode featurette, Dave Filoni says, "What's a day for the droids like? R2-D2 and C-3PO get sent out on this seemingly mundane mission to go get Yogan fruit. While they're doing this, little do they know that one of the most notorious bounty hunters in the galaxy, Cad Bane, wants to kidnap them." Sorry, I had a burp. Sorry. Evil Plans is the prequel to Hostage Crisis. This tells you how Cad got the information to infiltrate the Senate and break Zero out of jail. It's a really interesting crossover. No, it's not, Dave Filoni. With a character that we created in Clone Wars with two of our favorite classic characters of R2-D2 and C-3PO. It's undeniable that Anthony Daniels solidifies this show as Star Wars. And this part of the featurette, it shows Anthony Daniels doing a table reading with different dialogues and trying different dialogues. It was kind of a really cool moment to see him talking as C-3PO. Anthony makes a lot of special dialogue changes to 3PO when we record a script. I have always felt that he does this with such great knowledge of the character that it really gives you, the audience, the most authentic performance you could possibly get. It's an interesting look at how Cad Bane fits into Star Wars as a character, like he's always been there. It's like he's always been slightly off camera, and now he's here in the Clone Wars. George brought him out. Now he is involved, and he's getting much more involved. It starts to round out this idea that there's a much bigger, broader world going on in Star Wars than what you knew, or what you thought you knew.
I just want to congratulate you on your professionalism there. You had a great typo in there that I spotted. I was reading just a little ahead of you, and I was like, "Oh, this is a good one." It was the character that it really gives you, the audience, the most authentic performance. Except it says Moth authentic performance. So I was just getting ready to make Mon Mothma jokes, and what, you think he should act like a moth and all that, and you just flew right by it. And now I've called attention to it.
Well, I did type it, and I did listen to the episode featurette, so I knew what it was supposed to say.
I would have chugged right through and said moth, I'm telling you.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate it. Will you stop biting my fingers? Stop it. Does Yoda like biting fingers too?
Habit.
Don't bite my kitty fingers. or my pussy fingers.
Whoa. That sounds like a side dish at a restaurant.
What's that?
A side of pussy fingers with barbecue sauce.
See, like, I thought of that Greek myth. I can't even remember the name of it now, but it's a Greek myth of where, like, vagina teeth.
And then they made vagina dentata?
And then they made, like, a horror movie out of it. Uh-huh. But I'm trying to figure out what pussy fingers would look like. Is it just, like, a bunch of long clitorises that just, like, dangle down, and they're just like...
Well, you know, they talk about people pussyfooting around. It might be, you know, some people pussy finger around. The class.
I know Yoda pussy fingers around.
Oh, it is that time, isn't it?
It is that time. So take
Yoda's
it away, Yoda.
Going to tell you about failure.
See, I'm still not sure how I feel about this one, too. Like, to me, it's borderline, like... Should I get the fortune cookie or not?
This whole episode is like, should you get the fortune cookie or not? Okay.
Okay.
A failure in planning is a plan for failure in bed. Oh.
I guess I kind of get what it's going for the episode, but I feel like... Cad Bane didn't fail, and then he, of course, didn't fail in Hostage Crisis. So it doesn't fit.
They got the Jogan fruit in time to cook.
Yeah, I guess it's a failure on C-3PO's part, but they still didn't fail.
It's a massive failure on on Padme's part in security.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I'm debating. Should I open a fortune cookie?
No, we're okay.
Are you sure?
No, yeah, it's not that bad yet.
They're right there.
No,
it'll be our first.
No, trust me. When we need it, we'll need it. You know what I'm saying?
But it's right there. Okay, no emergency fortune cookies.
Count to 10. You'll be okay. It'll be okay. And then they had to talk about the episode.
Cuatro, cinco, seis, zen. I said, "Don't feel better, Chris. You lied." All right. So I'm wondering if we'll ever get to the point where we'll actually use the fortune cookies.
We'll need it someday. I'm telling you, we'll need it someday. It's like the nuclear football. You know, don't just because it's sitting there. Don't be distracted by the shiny button.
It's a nuclear football.
Candy-like button.
What's a nuclear football?
What? It's the briefcase that some poor slob has to carry around everywhere where the president is, in case there's a nuclear war, and then it has whatever codes and information the president needs to launch the nuclear weapons if necessary.
Oh, so it's not like an actual football.
No. Okay. Yes, it's one of those Sports Illustrated football phones that they've adapted so that he has to punch the codes into it.
Okay, because like when you say nuclear football, I just imagined like some poor kicker just like kicking it and then explodes.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was very cartoon in my head, like, no, kapoo! Yeah.
You don't throw the nuclear football, yes, not at all.
Okay. Or is it, like a nuclear family, so it's like a family of footballs, and one is like, no, Dad, I want to be a soccer ball, and he's like, you're American!
If you want it to be, I guess.
Football and a daddy football and a son and a puppy football with a white picket fence and their football.
It's your movie playing inside your head, Hope. You know, you're the director.
Well, that's okay. We don't have a lot to talk about this episode. We might as well talk about other stuff. So, all right. Act one. All right, act one.
Let's get into this deep, robust, and touching story.
It's going to be the game changer of Clone Wars.
Yes.
Nothing is ever going to be the same. It's like, it's going to be 10 for 10, but by 10 minus 5 from that.
People are going to mark their lives when they saw this one.
They're going to be like, oh God, Yogan fruit, and people are going to shiver. It's like Darth Vader at the end of Rogue One. People are just going to flip their fucking shit. Not really, no. Okay, act one.
Get ready, everybody.
I just heard you like mumble, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, help us. Jesus, take the wheel. Okay, seriously, act one. Okay, let's do this. Act one. Okay, let's get all the timelines cleared up right now, because there's been a bit of confusion this season. This is how this episode fits in the chronological order. In the Clone Wars movie, Padme busted Zero the Hutt for working with the Separatists to steal Jabba the Hutt's son. Last week's episode comes from when Zero sent Aurra Sing to kill Padme in revenge. This week, Jabba the Hutt has hired Cad Bane to find plans for the Senate building to get Zero out of jail. Next is Hostage Crisis from the finale of Season 1, where Cad Bane actually busts Zero the Hutt out of the jail. And then next week's episode, we'll have an episode following what happened with all of this with Zero getting out. Is everyone good now? Is everyone good? Fuck these timelines. That's the order. So anyway. So like I said, Jabba has hired Cad Bane to get Senate plans for the Senate building. Meanwhile, Padme is throwing a fancy party for a senator who holds a deciding vote on a military bill. Anakin is being a good husband by not helping her in any way, shape, or form. Good job there, Anakin, husband of the year. C-3PO is doing far more work than Anakin is and is freaking out over every single detail. He notices that the garnish for the cake is missing. Padme is already stressed from getting ready, and she pulls a wife mood of, Anakin, do something for once that doesn't involve lightsabers! Jesus Christ, take the wheel with the Jesus in the basket with Mary. Anakin sends C-3PO and R2-D2 on a mission. It's an important mission. They have to go to the market and find some Yogan fruit. Yes, this is the part of the plot of the episode, and I hope Chris has more stories, because I feel another Grievous Intrigue-style episode coming, just like I said and talked about already, but now it's in my notes, so I'm actually reading it in my notes.
I got nothing so far. We'll see what I can do.
We'll see how many wheels that Jesus can take. Jesus, take the RV. They head to the market. Jesus, take the RV. Just imagine him like Dukes of Hazzard driving through the backcountry, and like St. Matthew is riding out of the side, just like, yeah! Anyway, back to Act 1. Sorry, I made myself laugh now. They head to the market, and little do they know that they're being watched by the greatest bounty hunter in the motherfucking galaxy, Cad motherfucking Bane. Cad Bane sends Seth Green, aka his bot Toto, to R2-D2 and C-3PO. The droids come up to a street vendor named Droogan, who is actually quite delightful with his terrible jokes, and tries to swindle the droids for their credits. The fruit vendor easily tricks C-3PO, who pays way more money than he should have for the Jogan fruit, And R2-D2 is like, oh, you're so dumb. Toto moves in and goes, hey, with those little credits you have left, you can go to this droid spa for an easy payment of 8.99 credits with free shipping and handling. And 3PO turns him down, and R2-D2 is like, dude, let's go get a massage. We can get our nails did. We can get our hair did. I'm always fighting in a war while you got some cushy-ass job sitting in the Senate with Padme. I want to get my rub down on. And Yoda pops out going,
rub down, you say?
And goes into the massage parlor all by himself. Okay, not really, but we're going to get back to the episode. Toto shows them the maintenance spa, and R2-D2 is like, whoa, bye, Felicia, and heads inside. A speeder suddenly pulls up behind 3PO. With R2 gone, Toto shoves 3PO to the speeder, and they fly off with the gold droid. It took 6 minutes in this episode before 3PO is actually taken and anything actually happens.
Yeah, this episode was... yeah, that's where we're going. This episode was, you know, reminding me of things like cigarettes and underground comics. That's how much my mind was wandering during this. Although I did like the line in the opening, you know, in the opening narrator where... I just like that he used the lines, the unsuspecting citizens of Coruscant. I always like the unsuspecting citizens. But that cake looked like some kind of weird cigarette cake. And the whole thing with the Jogan fruit. Now, you're probably not familiar with Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers comics.
I know of it. I've never seen them, though, because they actually have had customers come in my store asking for them. And they're super underground and they're very hard to come by.
They're among the more like recognizable of underground comics. And they're hard to come by, but like in comic in underground world, they're like, I don't know if they still print them. I don't think they do print them still to these days.
I don't think so either, because I was trying to find them for customers and I couldn't find anything.
But there's a character in it called Fat Freddy, and he's sort of, you know, they're very Three Stooges, like, they're like hippie Three Stooges, and they've got their cat. And Fat Freddy's cat videos are even, comics are even more popular, I think, than the Freak Brothers comics. But there was always... like the beginning of a gag in one of their stories would be the other two guys giving Fat Freddy some money and going, all right, Fat Freddy, now go out and get us some drugs, but whatever you do, don't get burned. And of course he would come back with something, you know, the completely wrong thing after a series of mishaps. So it totally reminded me of a Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers story, except with C-3PO buying Yogan fruit instead of drugs. Although maybe Yogan fruit is, maybe that's why that guy wanted his Yogan fruit so bad, you know? So I don't know, you know?
Is that all you had for Act 1?
Yeah, I like the character of the salesman. Yeah, I like the character. He was sort of like the Poppin' Fresh Dough guy with a mustache, you know?
Yeah, a little tentacle mustache.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I'm going to get through my show notes first. C-3PO talks so much. He talks so
much.
That's
C-3PO, though.
I know. But now we have, like, 22 minutes of it. like you said, as I said in my notes, I really do like the vendor Droogan. I actually looked up his name because I liked him so much and I wanted to find his name. It's just his line of, like, I wish I had my health just like my grandfather instead of my credits. And I was like, oh, you're cute. I love Toto. I totally forgot Toto was in this episode, so I was just like, Toto! See, like, a couple of weeks ago, like, the blue Seth Green, George Lucas family, like, that was a terrible use of Seth Green. He is really good as Toto, and I think he really captures that kind of, like, haha, I'm evil, but I'm also really sassy.
Yes, yes.
So I just, he's up there as probably one of my more favorite droids. I wish we got, like, far more Toto in this series, because I really like him a lot. Okay, so my more serious notes. I like that so far in the animated cartoons, we have episodes where people have to make fruit runs, because we have this episode of Clone Wars, but also in Rebels, Hera sent Zeb and Ezra to get Meilu run fruit to teach him how to get along. And so if they do it like another animated show, I hope they have an episode about fruit runs.
Yeah, that, yeah, I know. But the Rebels one, yeah, definitely handled it a lot better.
It's way better than this one. I think it's because Ezra and Zeb are 12 times more interesting characters than C-3PO. And I'm not even the biggest Ezra fan, but I will watch Ezra every day if I never have to see C-3PO get fruit again. With his Batman tendencies of, my parents are dead, and everything, I'll watch it, I don't care. So, but yeah, I thought that was kind of cool, because like, so far in the two animated shows that they've done in canon, they have fruit run episodes, so I kind of, like, they do another one, there has to be an episode where they run and get fruit at some point, just to keep the kind of joke going, so. And so I was also thinking about how Cad Bane knew that they were going to be in the market. Like, he was waiting on them. Like, he knew they were coming. So I was like, how did he know? Like, did he sneak into Padme's house and, like, steal all the Yogan fruit secretly and then, like, cackled evilly, like, throwing it at people because he, like, stole all the Yogan fruit so they would have to go get more? Like, how did he know they were going to be in the market that day?
Yeah, unless they, like, somehow, yeah, I don't know.
I just like the idea of, like, Cad Bane, like, putting on a chef's hat and being, like, not pleased at all because it looks dumb and it's not his cowboy hat and he has to put on like a waiter outfit and he sneaks into Padme's house and he steals all the Yogan fruit and he's like, I'm the greatest bounty hunter in the galaxy, stealing fruit.
maybe droids have like a registration chip, you know, so you can see who, you know, if you hack into the system you can see whatever, you know, who every droid is and who they belong to or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So, finally, I started thinking about the character of C-3PO, and I got to wondering, is C-3PO smart? Is he a smart character? Like, is he logical smart? Because thinking back, C-3PO has always been kind of, like, way too trustworthy, and it takes people at face value, and R2-D2 is, like, the badass streetwise one of the duo who's, like, a little bit more like, oh, we shouldn't do this. But, like, while 3PO is, like, a protocol droid with, like, a bajillion languages programmed into him, he's not that smart. Like, is he actually a smart character?
He's smart in a information retention way. And with basically, I mean, I think since he's a protocol droid, he's built to be a little bit, he's not a if he was a negotiation droid, he might be more badass, but he's more of a, like, peacekeeper, you know, conciliatory droid, so he's just sort of programmed to be his personality's kind of fawning and overly, he's a butler. He's a uptight, sniffy British butler, you know, and
it's like street smarts versus book smarts.
He's very limited. He can speak a million languages and recall a bunch and throw out odds and stuff like that, and you know, translate and, you know, work a party by introducing people and stuff. But yeah, he's not set up for just regular interaction, you know, and especially like combat is the opposite of what he's made for, you know, or the sort of stuff he gets, you know, wrapped up in. And whereas R2 is meant to be strapped to the back of a fighter ship, but they're playing more of the Oscar Madison and Felix Unger Odd Couple vibe in here, where, you know, R2's like, come on, man, rub down, come on, rub down. We got 10 minutes. It's only 10 minutes.
Yeah. I always kind of get the feeling that, like, C-3PO and R2 are kind of, like, a weird kind of couple together, if they were real people.
Ernie and Bert style?
Yeah.
Well, The Simpsons called that, like, way, like, in the second season, they're like, and now appearing the gay robots from Star Wars. The Cylons versus the gay robots from Star Wars.
Yeah. But that's really all I had for Act 1.
Yeah, not much to say about it.
God, my notes are so short. All right, so, Act 2. R2 is met by some fine-ass droid ladies at the droid spa and seeks out his own happy ending. R2 gets lit and enjoys the good life of being rubbed down by some fine-ass droid ladies. Meanwhile, Toto comes back to Cad Bane with C-3PO in tow. They take 3PO out of the speeder, they shove him into another speeder, and then they fly away with Cad Bane. And then they arrive at a warehouse where Bane sticks 3PO with some informational gathering bits. I forgot what they're called, so I didn't even feel like looking it up. And starts prying into his data. Bane gets fed up that 3PO doesn't have the plans for the Senate building, and 3PO says, "Dude, I am a protocol droid programmed for etiquette, and your etiquette sucks balls!" And Bane calls him useless, and C-3PO is like, "I'm not useless! The blueprints are with R2-D2, and that's his specialty!" Oh, 3PO, I mean this in the most southern way possible. Bless your heart. Cad Bane sends out one of his assassin droids in Toto after R2. Fresh out of being loved up all afternoon, R2 leaves the droid spa and finds 3PO missing. He discovers the container of Yogan fruit that 3PO dropped. Toto and the assassin droid arrive in their speeder, just like the Mean Girls, and they call over, "Get in, loser, we're going shopping!" And R2 is like, "Bye, Felicia!" and runs away. Toto and the droid give chase. They shock the wrong astromech, and his droid buddy just runs away screaming, "Ah, murderer! Ah!" And droids can't get murdered, you creepy monster, you! Stop using your AI. They don't have feelings. Toto says that if they can't find R2, he will personally dismantle 3PO himself. R2 hears this and turns himself in to Toto and to the assassin droid.
I had the same note about the cross-cutting to the torture being just sort of like, well, they're filling up some space.
Yeah,
They filled up some space with R2 evading the other droids a little bit, but...
That was my biggest note of this, is like, this episode has so many filler moments that proves it's just a wasted episode. Like, there's a moment where Toto, like, flies to Bane, they take C-3PO out, put him in another speeder, and then fly away.
Yeah.
And then they keep, like, flashing back to Bane torturing 3PO, and they're getting nothing out of him. But they do that, like, three or four times.
Yeah, three or four times.
They obviously needed to fill space in this episode. And it doesn't even really add that much to Bane, because he doesn't do anything but watch. He's just like, we're still here. And still torturing droids.
Is this our first, like, Jar Jar-less comedy episode of Clone Wars, though? I think it is.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I guess you could argue that the banter of the Jedi is funny. Like, I would laugh at Obi-Wan all day if Anakin's making
right.
fun of him.
This one's purposely sort of like in the Bombad Jedi sort of mold.
Yeah.
In a way, except with torture.
And
it's like, can
layer.
You torture a droid? Do the droid feel pain? You know, is it a terrible experience? I guess it's a terrible experience. I like that.
No, they can't feel pain, don't they? Monsters.
I like that R2, like, well, you know, part of it's like, oh, I don't want 3PO to get dismantled. But he also sort of does the Jedi thing of like, you know what? I'll let him capture me. And then maybe I can I'll be in the, you know, in the thick of things, and maybe I can influence it.
Yeah.
Which we'll see. Not so much, R2. Not so much.
Good try. Gold star.
Yeah, it's just this torture work on... Why would you torture droids? Why wouldn't you just, like, shut them down, open up, take out their black box and plug it into your computer and read it? You'd probably have to get through some security codes, you know?
Yeah, I'm using torture very, like, loosely. I think it was more like there's, like, a whole tentacle thing of, like, when they shock it, it allows it to, like, open for a moment for them to get the data out of to go run security.
It's just melodramatic way of doing it.
Yeah.
And also, why would R2, if you're like R2 and you're in there, why would you even care about, like, why do they make the lady droids, and why are they all lady droids, or do, like, muscular guy droids come out for the lady droids, or for what it matters if you're a man or lady droid? But wouldn't R2 be like, oh, hubba hubba, to some other sort of trash can looking sort of droid, you know, rather than something humanoid? And if so, isn't it kind of weird that droids are like, when droids are like hubba hubba, it's like something humanoid? I don't know, it's kind of weird.
I just started laughing because I just imagine R2, because I know that Chopper is an older model than R2, mm-hmm. and I just saw, like, R2 seeing Chopper and just being like, yes, I like older men.
Look at that. Look at that,
Rilf. Men do it for me.
It's a Rilf. A Dilf.
Oh, man.
it actually would be, like, a droid I'd like to port with.
And they, like, touch, like, their antenna, and Chopper's just like, don't touch me! I'll shove you out of a ship. Chopper, Chopper's a murder bot. We know this. He
it would
like
definitely be
droids.
A sword fight with Chopper and R2.
I would love to see a fight of Chopper versus R2 in the same way of like R2 versus Goldie.
Ooh. Except, you know, they would team up and they would fight to a dead lock and then team up to destroy somebody else. But yeah, I would be into that.
I'd be so into that. Oh, man. Well, was that all you had for Act 2?
That's all I got for Act 2.
So, what I had was, and it is a waste of time for plot-wise, and it's clearly them padding out the episode, but I do like parts of a lot of the bits that they use with R2 and the droid spa. I think some of the, like, the visuals are really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he goes into the oil bath, but his little antenna pops up like a submarine periscope, and he's just like, wow! So there's some nice visuals in that, and it's a really pretty juxtaposition of this, like, dark, grimy, red, hued place that, like, 3PO is at, and then this, like, bright pastel place that R2-2 is at, and I like that juxtaposition that they did. So that was kind of nice, talking about, like, visuals and stuff like that.
That's classic R2-3PO.
Yeah.
R2 getting it done, 3PO getting dismantled.
So also Clone Wars is really, really usually good about sound design. We've talked about it multiple times on the show, but there is one sound effect that I feel was left out, because there's a moment when the lady droids are rubbing R2, and it would have been really funny if there's like this metal on metal scraping sound with their right. hand. So it's just like
the erotic sounds of love for a robot.
They're like, oh, did you enjoy that?
Clank, clank.
You like stroke his face and it's just like
the sweet sounds of love.
That would have been so great. So I was like waiting for like, but it's silent. They're just like, actually your silence thing probably just like cut that out. So it's just like silence and not like meh, 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 meh. I would have really liked that sound effect. And the other one note I had for this part was I really like Toto so much in this episode. Because in Hostage Crisis, he was just Bane's servant and he ended up getting blown up and Bane just kind of used him. But in this episode, we actually see that he's programmed to be mean. Like, he's happy to be evil and he wants to destroy 3PO. And we didn't get to see that in Hostage Crisis. So,
no,
like,
he seems more like an integrated part of the group in this one.
Yeah, like before, I felt like Bane had just bought him yesterday.
Yeah.
This actually, like, this is Cad Bane's personal droid and he uses Toto a lot. I just wish Toto.
What a cold bastard Cad Bane is.
I know, he's like, because our, you know, Anakin would never blow up R2. We watched in the Malevolence arc him, like defy orders and go find R2.
Yeah, he'll go back for him, yeah.
Then Bane's just like, well, Toto, it was fun. You're blown up now. What? Pshaw, you're dead. So, yeah, but I did like that we got Toto back, so we got to see that he was actually more of Cad Bane's droid than just the guy that he, like, bought yesterday. So, but that's all I had for Act 2.
All right, are we ready to wrap a ribbon around this masterpiece?
I'm looking at it, I'm like, we're only 30 minutes in. I should read really slowly.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's a mercy killing.
Act 3.
I'll chew my Kit Kats real slow later on.
Thanks. R2. That, okay. Act 3. Toto takes R2 back to the warehouse. Bane gets them all hooked up and then messes up R2's new manicure nails and getting his hair did by shocking the crap out of him. He finally has the plans for the Senate building. He tells his assistant to wipe R2 and 3PO's memories and dump them back to the streets. He has a meeting to get to. We check back in with Padme and Anakin, who are like, where are 3PO and R2? Oh, hello, Mace Windu's voice actor, who is portraying Senator Aang in this episode. Great to see you at our party.
I call him Senator Prunehead.
Yeah, he does. Kind of looks like a really wrinkly butt. Toto dumps the droids into the street. 3PO finds the canister of Yogan fruit in the street, and they head back to Padme's house. Cad Bane arrives on Tatooine and meets with Jabba the Hutt to get his payment. Jabba clears the room and calls up the entire Hutt Council. Jabba's droid translates for Bane that the Hutt Council needs Zero to be released. Apparently, Zero has some mighty dangerous information about the Hutt Council that could get them in some deep shit. They want to move Zero under their protection of their little council of gross. Bane is like, well, That's my cue. Hey, guys, I'm Cad Bane. Nice to meet you. I'm the best bounty hunter in the galaxy. If you pay me well enough, you'll see how well in the episode Hostage Crisis that I can, how successful I can be. So let's make a deal. 3PO and R2 make it back to the party just in time. And Padme's shindig is such a hit that the senator she tried to impress signed her bill at the end. Yes. Actually, it's not in my notes. I just want to say this. I just realized this canister of fruit has been laying in the street the entire episode. I'm sorry. If I
Nobody
sell packaged
picked
food,
up.
I know. Free food. And it's packaged. It's not like it's been tampered with.
Free I like food, that they man. Use the term goldenrod. 3PO got called goldenrod again in this.
Yeah.
And I did. I like the design of the Hutt Council. They all have names now for me. We got Squink Eye the Hutt, Pinhead the Hutt, Mustache the Hutt, and Monocle the Hutt.
There's one that just looks like a little turd, and then he turned around, so he's like a turd with eyes.
I think that's Squink Eye, or that might be Pinhead, too.
It was like, yeah, it was like the second one. Like, it just looked like a turd, and he turned, and I was like, oh.
My question is, when they're all talking about Zero, why do they need a hologram of Zero? They all know who Zero is. You know, they're talking about this guy that they all know and work with. Why
you
do
know,
they
I think that's just an audience thing.
It's an like, audience Cad Bane thing, yeah. But it's just like, ah, come on. And then let's come to the big gorilla in the room of this episode. Why you don't send R2, you don't send droids that are working in such, you know, high intelligence situations around politicians out into the street to buy Jogan fruit for this exact reason, that somebody can get them, get the information they need off of them, wipe their memories and dump them off and nobody will be the wiser, you know?
See, I blame this entire episode on Anakin because he wasn't helping at all to set up. C-3PO was actually helping. Like, he was, like, pointing out all the details of all the mistakes in the beginning. And Anakin is the one that sent him out in the streets.
It's like someone saying, geez, I want to go watch some porn. And then the President of the United States going, here, use my laptop. You know, it's just, no, you don't send those aren't the robots you send out to go shopping because they're just chock full of vital information and... You know, who knows if they record everything they hear, you know, and see? It's apparently so because they're getting, you know, layouts to places that R2's familiar with. So, yeah, you just don't do that.
You
have some sort of safeguards where, you know, their memories dump something that's not very secure.
I can't remember if it's... Because I know it's a Clone Wars episode. I can't remember if it's the one where R2 got lost and Anakin went to go find him, or if we haven't had this episode yet. Because there are two episodes where Anakin loses R2 and he has to go find R2. And I don't remember if we've already had this episode or if we've had it yet, but this has happened to Anakin before where he lost R2... And Obi-Wan was like, well, he's a droid, he's lost. And Anakin's like, no, he has, like, all of our meeting stuff on it. And he's
right,
like, what?
Right.
Anakin? Like, if we have already had this episode, that episode before, because for the love of me, I can't remember if we've already watched it yet or not, then Anakin should have learned from that.
Well, our 3PO's telling him, like he's talking like a UFO, somebody got, you know, abducted by a UFO. He's like, oh, yeah, there, you know, really, I don't really remember what happened. You know, it's like, that's kind of sketchy when a robot says that. It's not like he went out and got drunk or something, you know, or...
I have a note of that. I put, Anakin, bless your heart. You would think in wartime, with people knowing that R2 is his droid and 3PO belongs to Padme Amidala, that Anakin would be at least a little bit suspicious when 3PO says he can't remember anything about the day.
Padme's not a random senator. She's a senator that everybody likes to try to kill, you know?
Yeah, and people know that 3PO is her bot. Like, I mean, come on, Anakin. Bless your heart, which is Southern for you're dumb as fuck.
You are stupid.
You're stupid. Bless your heart, Anakin. You're dumb. Like, you should know this shit. And if... Anakin. I'll just pull my Obi-Wan voice. Anakin.
Yeah, that's about all I really had for that, you know? I was not amused by this episode. I was more shocked and concerned with the way that they... The irresponsibility and the way that they handled the robots.
Like, for me, I do agree. I also like seeing the different huts. Like, that's a really cool moment that we've... Because I think that before, like, we know that there's a hut clan, but we've never seen them.
Yeah, that's always... And I like that they all have their... They drew them all with their own personality. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and
there's,
also,
there's cool-looking things in there, and there's cool things in it. Just cool... That not too many cool things happen, you know?
Yeah.
Cad Bane doesn't really do anything cool. He's Cad Bane, so he's, like, in himself cool. It's fun to see him dealing with the huts and stuff, but yeah, there's not a lot to it, and what he is doing is kind of absurd too, and it's kind of a waste of having him, especially when usually a situation with Cad Bane is deadly, you know.
Yeah, you actually just said like three of my notes.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's totally okay. Because I agree, like, Cad Bane didn't really do anything this episode until that last scene.
Yeah.
And it was like, there you are. Like, there you are, Cad Bane. Like, who else has the balls to walk in front of the Hutt clan, one of the most dangerous... Yes, Kitty? What's wrong? Well, to walk in front of the Hutt clan, one of the, like, some of the most dangerous gangsters in the galaxy, and goes, I'm your guy. Like, that takes a lot of balls to do. And, like, that was his cool moment. Like, that was the best part of the episode. But other than that, like, I'm really glad that we have him next week. Because it's going to be Cad Bane versus Obi-Wan and Quinlan Vos. Because this is just such a waste of an episode for Cad Bane. I agree too, Kitty.
It's almost like an introductory episode for Cad Bane, but we already know who he is, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not as badass as his original introduction, you know?
Yeah. And also, you could do this episode in 5 to 10 minutes. Like, if Toto just grabbed both droids, just grab them both at the beginning, got all the information wiped, dump them, have a meeting with the Hutts, bam, the episode is done. This could have been, like, 10 minutes, like, in another episode. So, yeah. Though my favorite, okay, this was my favorite part of the episode, though. There's a moment after they get the Yogan fruit, and they put the fruit on top of the cake, and then the little rabbit droids go, yay! That's my favorite part. I laugh every time because I forgot it was there, and they're like, they put the cake together, and all three rabbit droids just go, yay!
And that's all the skill that it takes, is they just dump them on top of the cake. There you go, yeah, cake's done. And that's the whole, the cake is like the Yogan berry cake, and it's like, you drop 4 Yogan berries on the top of it.
Yeah, like, the thing is, isn't there already Yogan berries, like, in the cake to make it with? Like, when you
maybe
say that
they put,
like,
Yogan berry extract in it or something, I don't know.
I was at least half expecting to, like, cut them in slices and put them on top.
Yeah,
so, I mean, like, but still, I always forget that moment. And the little rabbit droids are, like, high-fiving each other in the background, like, yay, we did it! But the whole just, like, yay! That's my favorite part of this episode.
Well, that's they only have one job, so yeah, they're pretty psyched.
Yeah. All right, so I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
So let's talk about what Dave Filoni mentioned in the episode featurette. Do you think this episode helped Cad Bane seem like he was already in the universe, he has always been in the universe, and this is just solidifying him more into the Star Wars universe?
I guess. I don't know. I thought they were doing it just sort of to be like, okay, Cad Bane is back. And I'm not really sure what they were trying to do with him in this episode. I mean, I guess it would have to be Cad... It wouldn't even have to be Cad Bane doing this. It would have been more fun to have somebody maybe more bumbling, you know, more inept. And then have Cad Bane take over, like, like, it would have been a lot more dramatic if this bumbling guy got the information, but just barely got it to Jabba the Hutt, and, you know, then Cad Bane stepped in at the last second, was like, why don't you get me to handle the real job with this, you know? And then he gets just sort of a badass thing instead of getting sort of, like, not very good comedy scenes with C-3PO, you know? Who cares, you know?
Yeah.
The interplay between he and C-3PO was not, you know, it wasn't very amusing or witty, or there wasn't anything special about it. It was just sort of like, all right, you know, torture the robot and see what we can get. And that was about it, you know?
Like, he tells C-3PO that he's his worst nightmare. I mean, he should have been like, I'm your worst nightmare, and then, like, ripped his fucking head off. Or, like, even if it was something, like, more high stakes, like, what if Cad Bane kidnapped a senator?
Yeah.
Like, that would have been, like, so much more high stakes, because then you have a living person I mean, because droids can be rebuilt. Like, you know, as much as everyone loves, like, 3PO and R2 and stuff like that, like, if they suddenly exploded, you can rebuild them. You can't rebuild a person.
Right.
So, like, it would have been, like, so much more high stakes if, like, he had to infiltrate, like, say, a senator's house to get the plans or something like that. Like, or that would have been...
Or the warden.
Yeah, or something like that.
The warden would have the plans on his computer or whatever. You know, something like... There's so... I mean, why... Padme Amidala's droids? There, if it's on Padme Amidala's droids, how many other droids are there that you could... You know, I mean, yeah, it was just... It was forced. The whole premise of 2/3 of this show was kind of forced and goofy just to begin with.
It would have even been better if, like, while Padme is having the party, Cad Bane sneaks into her house to try to get the information.
Yeah.
So, like, he's, like, sneaking around the background, and then you have Anakin there, like, sensing, like, something's off. Like, something's really off. So, like, he's, like, trying to, like, stay, like, a step ahead of Anakin while trying to get to these droids and get that information. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, there's so many different ways you could have done this, and...
You used Cad Bane to such better effect that way.
Yeah, because he's supposed to be the cool Boba Fett. I mean, just, if you're going to use such a cool character, then have an adventure with just Toto. Have Toto take care of it, because this is beneath Cad Bane.
Yeah, have a cross-cut between Toto questioning the droids and Cad Bane sneaking around, you know, the palace.
Yeah, like, I would have been so much more down for that. This is just such a waste of an episode. And then my last note, I think you mentioned it last week, that so far this season that Anakin's just been kind of popping up here and there, like, he hasn't really been in an episode. He's just kind of there for 2 seconds and he's gone. And that's been happening to a lot to our three main characters. Obi-Wan was missing from huge chunks of season one. I remembered us saying that we were missing Obi-Wan. Ahsoka was gone for most of the last half of season two, and now in season three, Anakin's been out of it for most of the season. So I just really wish that we had more episodes of just the three of them.
Yeah.
Because, like, it is really cool to see how the universe is expanding. I like getting characters like Satine, Cad Bane, or seeing Asajj Ventress and, like, other members of the Jedi Council. But still, this show has three main characters. It's Anakin, Ahsoka, and Obi-Wan. Those are their characters, and the three of them haven't been together since the season two episode of Bounty Hunters. And I'm ready for this band to get back together and to have them, because I like the more and more I think about it, I was like, they're really not together a lot, just the three of them, in this entire series. And I think that's a massive flaw of the series.
I don't know if it's a massive flaw. I think it's...
I mean, if the series is about them, you need to have your characters together.
Yeah.
Because it's also about their relationships, especially Obi-Wan and Ahsoka to Anakin. I mean, Clone Wars is best basically six seasons of Anakin sliding into Vader.
Yeah, but remember, you're also... This whole series takes place between two movies. So they have to, with all those characters... With any character that's in the movies, they have to be careful not to, you know... take their character too far in any direction. You know, they have to at some point you have to spin the wheels, you know, if you're going to keep the characters lined up where they are in their arc with episode three. So
yeah.
I think maybe that was their way of, you know, spacing out those characters so that you didn't develop them too much or get a little too much of them, so it wouldn't jibe with episode three, you know?
I guess what I'm saying is, like, I'm so much more invested in Ahsoka, Anakin, and Obi-Wan.
Uh-huh.
I really don't give a shit about what C-3PO does on a normal day.
Right, right.
I don't care. Dave Filoni, I don't care.
And I would not think this is a normal day for C-3PO. I imagine normal day is probably quite boring.
Yeah.
So
like, I just... There are just so many... I just want the three of them back together. I'm at least happy that the Mortis arc is, like, right around the corner. Like, we'll be getting there in a few episodes, and it's just...
Oh, yeah, that's where things... I love that arc.
I love and dislike that arc at the exact same time. For me, it's a really cool arc and idea, but I have a massive problem with the last, like, 5 minutes of it. Where they're like, Anakin, you're Vader! What? Oh, you can't know that. Let's just wipe your mind. What? I mean, come on! Like, why
I forgot about
that. Yeah, I mean, like, and it's a really cool fantasy thing. Like, it's very Lord of the Rings, but I don't know if fantasy always works.
Well, that I think is, until we get into Rebels, I think that's the most fantasy part of Star Wars ever, is that arc.
It's the most crossover. It's really pretty arc. It's so pretty.
Is kind of space fantasy, but not, it's almost like, it's not fantasy like magic fantasy, you know? So this is, except for the Force, but this takes it in a more of like bubble, boiling trouble direction.
Yeah, like it's very borderline like Lord of the Rings. They have a dragon. The sun turns into a dragon at some point. So. Yep.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
I know. So I can't wait, though. I like and dislike that. So, okay. That's all I had for Act 3. Did you have anything else?
No. You want me to start scoring it up?
You start scoring it up. I'm going to put my cat outside because she's meowing at me. So, I can hear you across the room, though.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a terrible episode, as far as, I don't think it was as terrible like in the Grievous Intrigue level, but it was headed there, but it was saved, I think, to an extent, by having some cool stuff in there. For once, like, being on Tatooine was interesting with the Hutts and stuff. I'm giving it a 6.5, and it probably would have been more like a 5. If it wasn't for the having Cad Bane in it and having the parts with the Hutts in it, and the scene in the spa was fun. That's something you don't see in Star Wars ever, and you haven't seen before. So it was a fun little comedy sequence, but pretty much a good chunk of it beyond that stuff was filler. So I am giving it 6.5 Rooney.
I'm gonna correct you. We have seen something like that in the spa in the holiday special.
Yeah, that's true. Never mind, I'm wrong. I'm still staying with 6.5 though.
Okay. I'm debating my score. I might bump it up just like a tiny hair, just a tiny tiny hair. I'm trying to remember what I scored Grievous Intrigue. Because the episode, like, there are, like, little parts here and there are Grievous Intrigued I did like. And, like, it had some wrecks, had Grievous kicking in doors and stuff. But it was a rough plot. And this is up there for me as being pretty darn bad of Star Wars. Pretty darn bad. If Cad Bane wasn't in this episode, it would be one of my least favorite episodes of Clone Wars, period, the end. If it was right. Probably any other bounty hunter, this would probably have a much, much lower score. He is the only real saving grace in this entire thing, him and Toto. Because 3PO is annoying. Anakin and Padme are barely in it. And Anakin, this is all Anakin's fault. And he's kind of dumb. He's dumb. You do your job, Jedi. But it is also cool to see all the Hutts together. And I love the rabbit droids at the end just going, yay! that just makes my episode every time. And Toto is just so good in this episode. Like, he actually, I liked him more in this episode than I like Cad Bane in this episode. Toto's just really smart, funny, sassy, and a little scary at times. And so I liked him. So if Bane and Toto wasn't in this, this would have been, like, an incredibly low score. So I'm giving this one, I'm still debating if I want to bump this up or not, a half point. No, I'm giving this somewhere between a 5.5 and a 6 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm wavering on it. Because I scored it a 5.5, but like now I'm kind of talking about it, I'm kind of feeling a 6, but not really. We'll give it a 5.75 out of 10.
Okay, that works.
Good. Average it out. So, yeah.
I think the rules committee will approve that.
Yeah. So, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or the Two True Freaks Facebook page. We especially like iTunes feedback, because when you rate or review the show, it helps other people find the show. So, if you like us and you want to help other people find us, just give us a little rating or a review on iTunes. We'd really like that a lot. This week, our feedback comes from our Facebook page from Jean, who heard our song in the episode Sphere of Influence, where we came up with the song, da-da-da-da-da-da,
Jean!
And also, Aaron responded to this episode covering Sphere of Influence. So, Gene was really cool. I didn't put his full comment because he had a second comment when he was just like, yeah, I can dance to this. And he had a video, so I didn't put that in there. So, Gene, we're glad you like our song. So, I'm really excited about this because aren't you singing this?
Yes, Gene wrote, and I'm not going to sing it, but here are some lyrics to the TV show you proposed. It's the Ballad of Greedo and Goatman, sung to the Dukes of Hazzard. And Eugene, I'm going to sing it. We're just a good old boy, only meaning some harm. I beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was drawn. Kidnapping girls, hiding in hills. Someday Han Solo might get them, but the law never will. Making their way, their only way they know how. Well, that's just a little bit more than the law will allow. Just a good old boys, wouldn't change if they could. Fighting the system like some true bounty hunters oughta should.
Because well, I can't respond to something I don't hear.
Oh. yes.
And it'll Gene be great says, when I actually.
And Gene says he's no Dr. Bill, but he gets by.
Well, thank you, Gene. That was awesome. And thank you, Chris, for singing it.
Hey, that's what I do.
Well,
you don't have to thank me, citizen. It's my job.
Well, also because you want to hear something outlandish. I've never watched Dukes of Hazzard, so I don't actually
You're
know
okay.
what the song sounds like.
If you watch, literally, if you watch one Dukes of Hazzard, you've pretty much seen them all.
I know they're, like, kind of country boys, and they're always on their run from the law, and there's a car.
It's
and
very much of its time period where every episode was the same story. They reached the same point before each commercial. You could predict everything.
And there's a girl with, like, really short shorts.
Yes, Daisy Dukes.
Daisy Dukes, so...
So our other other Facebook comment comes from Aaron Henley, who's reacting to Gene's at first. He says, first, awesome job, Gene. Second, okay, something is screwy with my iTunes feed. I kept checking and refreshing, and I didn't see this get updated. I need my J-Guys with my morning coffee. It's like chocolate and peanut butter, Bert and Ernie, Big Bird and Snuffy, Grover and that one bald guy Muppet he kept doing skits with. And I have to get this fixed. Looking forward to the next episode because I know how much... Hope loves Chochi. I know I'm misspelling that. This episode is all about her and her family. Also, there was some rumblings in the continuity community when this episode came out, and I'll talk about that after listening in case you already comment on it.
All right, two things. So, number one, Sphere of Influence, Aaron, it wasn't you, it was us. We didn't get it updated till the next day. Uploaded till the next day. So, yep. It's not your iTunes, it was us. I fell asleep. Second, you never got back to us, so I don't know what rumblings you're talking about in the continuity. So I would actually love for you to do a follow-up on this, because I don't know what rumblings you're talking about in the continuity community when Sphere of Influence came out. So just send us another message, because I have no idea what you're talking about. that's why I included this, because I was like, what continuity grumbling? I don't even know. So... Yeah, thank you guys for sending us feedback, and now it's our favorite time of the show.
It's today, Kit Kat time.
Today,
as always.
The day.
And this has become a few weeks back, I was complaining about the crappy state of American Kit Kats, and listener Dario Gonzalez, who travels the world, has sent me Kit Kats from around the world. He just sent me another two packets full of Japanese Kit Kats, some of which are unidentifiable, some of which are, there looks like there's a peanut butter and jelly one.
So you're about to
there's
say
a sake
penis.
One.
I thought you were about to say a penis, not peanut butter.
There's some penis Kit Kat in there. All right, today's Kit Kat comes from the home of Kit Kats. It's from the homeland. It is from Switzerland, from Zurich. And these are a regular, this is the biggest pack of Kit Kats I got. This has actually five Kit Kats in it.
Whoa.
And it's a new, as per Zurich, extra creamy Kit Kat.
Shoot it for me?
What's that?
The data? the day that we're recording is the day after Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's
so
right.
So I went to Kroger's and I bought a bunch of half-off candy. So I'm eating heart-shaped Butterfinger Bites.
Oh, yum, yum. Mm. You had Butterfingers last week, I think, too. All right.
As you said, they're God's candy.
One thing is, these ones are, like you can almost bend these Kit Kats. They're so soft. So I think that's what the extra creamy, yeah, it's like, it's almost like, it's very milky. It's almost like a chocolate paste. It's so soft. And I know my room's kind of cold, so it's not like it's warm and melty. Wow. These ones, like, definitely melt in your hands and in your mouth. They're super melty. Like, as soon as I pick them up, they get a little fingerprint in them. They're good.
Okay.
Very creamy and milky.
Here's my thing about these heart-shaped Butterfinger hearts. They're not actually Butterfingers. They have, like, because you know, like, when you bite into a Butterfinger, like, over half of it's, like the cookie part?
Mm-hmm.
This is almost entirely chocolate, but it tastes like they, like, crunched up the cookie part and put, like, 10% in there. Because there's barely any cookie parts. It's almost all chocolate. So Butterfinger, these Butterfinger hearts suck.
yeah, that crunchy part, the crunchy peanut butter parts, that's what it's all about. It's like butterscotchy, peanut buttery sort of flavor.
Yeah, like there's barely any crunch in it. Like it was almost all chocolate and like no crunch in the middle or anything. So
yeah, what
Butterfinger,
a
gyp. I am disappointed. I'm glad
especially
I
on Valentine's Day.
I'm glad I only spent $1.50 on you.
Well, yeah, it's just lucky you just bought it to eat it, and it wasn't like you didn't get them for somebody for a Valentine's Day present or something. It's like, here, have this crappy candy.
Because I bought a bag of them, so I'll just take them to work and give them to my coworkers.
Mm-hmm. They'll eat them. They don't care.
I don't care. Actually, I'm a good boss. I brought them all cookies on Valentine's Day. I'm a good manager. For us, we are cool with all the shops in the area. We know the people there. Like, we know all their managers. Mm-hmm. Like, we're really nice with all of them and stuff like that. Except for this one store. I'm not going to name the store. Because, for one, I used to work for the store. But also, too, we try not to talk bad about other comic book stores. Because comic book stores, for one, is and we're in a lot of trouble right now. Comic book stores are on the downslide, and it's actually somebody wrote an article about it on Bleeding Cool. It's our subscribers that are fucking this up, because people aren't coming in and picking up our books, and we're getting left with thousands of dollars worth of books that we're just sitting on. And being our subscribers, we don't want to sell them because they're for our subscribers, and that's why. So if you're a subscriber in a comic book store, please go pick up your books, because we are in desperate need of you picking up your books. It's very important. People like me will lose their jobs, and you won't see your local comic book store. Anyway, but like everybody in the area knows that this one comic book store, and it's not even the people that work there, it's just the manager. And the manager is a complete and total asshole. And everybody knows this. But everybody else in his store is really cool. Even his wife's really cool. I love his wife. She's like the nicest, sweetest person. She's really funny. I love her to death. But anyway, we had a customer call our store, and I answered it. And he asked about like how we price comics and stuff like that, and what are like the steps we do it. And I walked him through it. I was like, well, older comics, we tend to use the Overstreet Guide and stuff like that. But newer comics, their prices fluctuate a lot depending on the week and movies and all sorts of things. So we tend to use different sources like comicspriceguide.com or even eBay. But if you use eBay, make sure you look into the sold listings, because that's what they're actually selling for, not what people are pricing them for themselves. And so I watched him through the spiel, and he kind of went quiet for a second. He was like, you guys are really nice. I was like, oh, thank you. He goes, I called this other comic book store, and then he named our rival comic book store that we don't like. He was like, and those guys, please excuse me, they were jackasses. And he was like, that guy was a jackass. And I was like, and in the back of my mind, I was like, yeah, I know. But I was like, oh, I'm so sorry that you had that experience, sir. And he goes, no, you don't understand. Excuse my language. He was a dick. And I was like, okay, that's nice. And then he came the next day and sold us some comics.
Oh, that's nice.
I know. So we actually get that comic book store's customers a lot. Some of our subscribers used to be subscribed with him.
Just you know, comic book price reference wise, it's a Star Wars They Scott Gardner and I covered all the original Marvel Star Wars in Comics Monthly Monday, and there was one issue number 49 that was called The Last Jedi. And boy, oh boy, I was like, oh, I wonder what the price of this one's doing on eBay now. And it's like, last week it was selling for like $12.95 to $20. Now it's like $40 to $60. And there's some people with slabbed copies of it selling it for like $195.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
What I actually, like, this is probably the only thing I don't like about the, like, the Marvel-Disney buyout of Star Wars is we used to be able to buy the trade paperback of the Star Wars, which is a comic version of George Lucas's original script with Anakin Starkiller. And I have the first issue of it, and it was awesome, but, like, I really want to read the rest of it. And so we used to be able to order the Dark Horse books, but with the buyout, it's now out of print. We can't get it anymore.
I can probably get all those for you at my LCS. I've been buying that actual line from my LCS, like, I'm at, like, number 8 every once in a while when I'm there and I remember to check which number I'm on. And they've got all of them just sitting in the racks there.
I would love that, because
Next time I get over there, I'll check to see, I'll get a list of what they got over there. You could probably get most, if not all, the rest of them, like, right for cover price from my comic shop.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Like, because...
I gotta warn you,
very rarely
that good.
The art's
gorgeous, but boy, George Lucas's original story is some clunky shit.
I know, but I just want to read it.
It's interesting. It's interesting historically, but it doesn't flow super well. But it's interesting.
Yeah, I would love that because I've been at my store for gosh 3.5 years now, and I've only seen the entire full run come through once. We used to be able to order the trade paperbacks of it, but we can't order the trades anymore.
There's long boxes and long boxes full of the Dark Horse Star Wars comics at our and there have been for years. They're going to be sitting there for years. So
see, that's so interesting. Like, we have so much trouble keeping whenever we get any of the Marvel Star Wars or the Dark Horse Star Wars stuff in. Unless it's, like, really obscure, we sell it really fast.
This guy always maintains, I don't know what his deal is, but he's always been in, like, warehouse buildings, so he's always had a huge amount of space.
Okay,
and
see,
he just went to a bigger space, so he's got, like, a comic shop, then he's got a whole back area that's, like, a back warehouse just full of back issues, that if you want to go through them, and all the new stuff's in the front, and the trades and stuff like that.
Actually, what I really, really, really want is all of Son of Dathomir. I only have issue 4. That's the only one I got, and I would love the first 3 of Son of Dathomir.
Make me a list, and I'll go in there and check it out. I'll even chat up our. I know they listen to some Two True Freaks podcasts there. I think they probably listened to Back to the Bins there, but I should get them on. I should get them on the Clone Wars tip.
Oh, really? That's so cool. Well, if they end up listening to
I've walked into the comic shop before and heard my own voice coming out of the speakers. It's kind of creepy, actually. it's kind of weird.
Oh, hi, Chris. It's local comic book store, guys.
Comics, etc. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Andy. I feel your pain. I work in a store, too, so...
Andy's gone from a very frustrating situation to a very good situation, so it's going good at Comics, etc.
Heard of them?
I've mentioned them before.
I don't think I've heard of them from you. I think I might have heard of them through because my.
Well,
my
I'll tell you what. Like, Rochester, New York, is a legendary hub of comics. We have so many comic shops here. It's ridiculous. And he's been a comic shop here since I've been in Rochester. So he's been 30 years in business since I've been here, and he was in business before I got here. So, he's an established shop, that's for sure.
Huh. I don't think I've heard of him for you. My
Andy,
owner...
Andy, if you're listening, next time I come in, tell me how long you've been running that shop. It's got to be like 30 years. Holy cow.
Yeah, because my owner travels a lot because he used to be in a band. So, he would travel for his band and then, like, he would go to different comic book stores. So, he actually knows a lot of comic book store owners across the country. And he's in, like, a bunch of, like, Facebook groups with, like, other comic book owners and stuff like that. So, like, I might have heard of them from him. Like, that sounds really familiar, Comics Etc.
Ask him. Ask him. Andy from Comics Etc. That would be who he would be dealing with.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that, because I feel like I've heard of that store before. That sounds really familiar, so.
Oh, big right. Rollers here in Rochester. Big Rollers.
Well, that's just like this episode. We were able to pad it out. So.
Pad me it out.
So where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com, where we have officially launched our new podcast, Eat It and Beat It, the Sex and Porn Podcast.
I was going to call you out, because when you said one of our listeners, Dario, you could have been like my co-podcaster for Eat It and Beat It, Dario.
And I haven't given many shouts out to Trennis Magnus Punches Reality, but he's been putting out some fun shows. Check out Trennis and I did a show on the phenomena of Shia LaBeouf and his performance art. Not as an actor, not as the son of Indiana Jones, but as a performance artist. And it was a fun loving show, let me tell you. But yeah, we got a million of them up there. The twotruefreaks.com, there's a Two True Freaks Facebook page where a lot of us meet up, and then there's a Two True Freaks Cantina on Facebook where you can go and talk. Gene, the podcasting machine. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-bum.
Gene.
He runs our Twitter page, which is Two True Freaks. And, we're all over the place. I think Back to the Bins has their own Facebook page. I think Mindless Drivel has its own Facebook page. And the Fear of the Walking Dead cast. Everybody's getting their own pages. It's exciting. And
Who's Your Freaks? Is doing stuff again. The old show I used to be a part of.
Yeah, the first Two True Freaks in over, like, well over a year.
And special thanks to David, because David is definitely spearheading that, mm-hmm. And I'm in their chat. Yeah, David Walker, and we're actually talking about what the next episode will
Yay.
Be about. And it looks like, to give you a little preview, because I'm looking at the Facebook chat that we had the other day about it, I think we're going to be doing some Pertwee.
And I love Dave's Photoshop he did for the Who True Freaks. It looked like the Photoshop I would do. It looks like the Photoshop I would have done for that episode of Who True Freaks. It was really neat to see it. Because I was just that was usually my job, was to do the Photoshop for it. And then when it was already done, it was like, oh, it's already done. Hey, that looks like I did it. So I guess that's good. especially if that's what he was going for. What about you, Hope? You're super busy on the old internet these days.
Sorry, I was messaging Dario my address.
Yeah, get those Kit Kats.
Yeah, he actually just asked if I was going to be on Eat It or Beat It. you can find me at Two True Freaks on Twitter. I run our Twitter page. Oh, I just remembered. So John Wilson wanted me to tell you something on Twitter. So this is extra tiny little feedback. So a couple episodes ago, you were saying something and you couldn't remember what it was called. When I think it's like when a word sounds like another word or something like that.
Yes.
Anyway, he wrote me in big letters. Let's see. No. Twitter worked for me. Sorry, I have to
homophone, right?
Big letters. They're homophones, Chris.
Homophones, yeah, I know.
They're cold homophones, not called homophones.
You're a homophobe.
And then I also had a discussion with John and someone on Twitter named Rael about Clone Wars being canceled, because we talked about that a few episodes ago. And so we're hoping that it will come back. But yeah. I run our Twitter page at Two True Freaks, at Gay Guys and Jedi. You can also find me at Hope Molinex, where I like to live tweet shows. I went crazy on Monday for Timeless, because also it's fun, because in Timeless, Matt Lantern dropped another Jedi joke. And it's funny because he's the voice actor for Anakin and he's on that show. So that's two Jedi jokes that they've dropped so far in Timeless with him. And you can also find me at whatthefangirl.com. I am the newest writer for What the Fangirl, so just check us out and let us know what you think, and just let me know. So, yay! Yay!
Yay, let's put some distance between us in this episode.
I am so excited for next week's episode. You don't even know. I guess I'm like doubly excited because I've been reading Dark Disciple, which is the Quinlan Vos Asajj Ventress book. So I'm like super into Quinlan Vos right now, and we finally have him in Clone Wars. And I'm just really super excited, and he's really hot, and I want to play with his dreadlocks, and he's kind of beautiful, and I'm just really, really, really excited again next week. And we finally have Obi-Wan back next week, too.
Oh my god.
I know.
Nothing to everything for Obi.
Oh man.
Almost everything.
I was looking at the Wikipedia page last week, and there are so many extra notes. There's like 4 pages of information about this episode that's not just about the plot. It's about like making the episode, designing Quinlan. Like, there's like 4 pages of notes, so I'm gonna have to sift through all that when I do our extra information for next week. So, but we'll get there. So
we'll get there.
I guess until next time, just make sure you rub up your droids with other droids and make sure you add those sounds of
Brought my chamois.
Brought your what?
Chamois.
Oh, chamois.
Chamois.
I thought you were talking about a sham wow. Like, no. Sham wow.
Slap chop.
All right, kids, bye.
Slap. All right.
Bye.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at 2TrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, 2TrueFreaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the 2TrueFreaks at the same time.
Visit our website at 2TrueFreaks.com. 2TrueFreaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email 2TrueFreaks directly at 2TrueFreaks@gmail.com.
2TrueFreaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search 2TrueFreaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find 2TrueFreaks on Facebook. Just search for 2TrueFreaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about 2TrueFreaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Two True Freaks has been brought to you today by Damanzo Core of Milan, Italy, and by the letters F and U.